And in the document, it said that you wanted to do the interview in one.
No, I don't. I was actually asked. Let me read this document. I was asked.
Okay.
Which level
you
meant
to say?
Yeah, it says either English or French.
Okay.
Any of the two.
Oh.
Fine.
That's good because you can switch off. This being an entity that has this enormous mandate of ensuring that all languages are promoted and developed. So as the portfolio committee, we thought, let us give the people a choice of what, how they would like to be interviewed. But it's good that we can interview you in English as well. We welcome you to this session. Thank you very much for availing yourself. And we tell every candidate to be calm, just don't be stressed. This is not a guillotine. We just want to know more about you. And our mandate is to select people who are going to serve in this very important board of Pencil. Did you know the story about the board of Pencil? And we are saying, as this committee, we would like to leave this legacy of a board that is going to function well and a board that is going to ensure that the mandate of Pencil is actually, we are going to introduce ourselves as the portfolio committee, as the panel. We are going to introduce ourselves, and we are going to give you, at the end, we will give you an opportunity for you to introduce yourself, and we are going to give you 5 minutes to do that. You introduce yourself, you tell us who you are, you market yourself to us. Market yourself. Going to give you 5 minutes. In fact, we have a timekeeper here. That is, in total, we're giving you 45 minutes for the interview. You can use more, you can use less. But at the end of the 45 minutes, the bell will ring and and we can't go home for 5 minutes. So you must know that we are working within the 45 minutes, but the first 5 minutes will be for you to introduce yourself and to tell us more about you, and then to market yourself a little bit so that when we get into the questioning time, we just go straight to the question. I am Bolivar John, the chairperson of the board. Of the portfolio committee, not of the board. Thank you. And then to Malcolm.
Good afternoon. My name is Thomas Makondo, member of the portfolio committee.
Good afternoon. My name is Bongi, I'm a special employee, the member of the portfolio committee.
Afternoon, my name is Mukoti Kudan, member of the committee.
Good afternoon, I'm Alan Kruetwell, member of the committee.
Good afternoon, I'm Mamatama Novemba, also a member of this committee.
Thank you very much, honorable member. Now the ball is in your court for you to introduce yourself and to just market yourself a bit before we ask the question. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Dolly.
CEO Haydn Cavani. My family and friends will only call me Rosie. I would like to categorize my introduction in the traditional background and the career that I have worked, the path of language. I started my grade 12 in Mafeking. I'm preferring not to include other grades. From which I went to the University of the North, which was then called Tekluk, where I majored in my Swana and philosophy. Initially, the intention was to do a medicine and then BSc, and because Tekluk did not have medicine, I ventured into languages, because I think languages are science in themselves. After undergraduate degree at Tekluk, I improved my qualification with a postgraduate diploma in library and information science at the same institution. After which I went to the Botswana National Library, where I created the section of the acquisition and cataloging of languages. I worked very closely with President Mamope, in fact, as the species were concerned, and editing the language of the species. From there, from the Botswana National Library, I went to Mount Christian College, where I lectured Botswana and gathering information science. I went to Kuna Kashas at the Kuchichin College of Education, where I offered gathering information science and then Botswana, and at the same time coordinated the teacher center, of which my major role there was to identify the problem that teachers had, specifically in African languages. The African languages in Kuchichin are IsiXhosa, Xhosa, and Botswana. So I coordinated the teachers who taught in Kuchichin area. From there, I took a full-time post for lecturing Botswana when the university or the college was closed, and then they were merged with the university. I have since been responsible for the lecturing of the Botswana. First year, second year, third year, and fourth year, both major modules and pedagogical modules. I have presented papers in various national and international conferences. My focus of the presentation was specifically on Botswana literature. The only one that was not specifically on Botswana was the one that I presented on language planning and policy. Currently, I am busy with my PhD. My submission date is today. And yesterday, as I was preparing for this interview, I made a horrible mistake by deleting the whole chapter 4.
No.
And I could not think straight, but I said I had to go to Cape Town for this. So I'm a student of PhD, hoping to receive my results next year in February. One thing that I want to emphasize is my engagement with Tencent. I started being active with Tencent when I was a member of NLU National Language Geography, where I was the deputy chairperson of the structure for around 5 years, after which I joined the NLB, National Language Board of Botswana. And as a member of NLB, I also represent the NLB in provincial language committees for Botswana. And my interest in languages, like hand in glove with the Mandi people. Why? Because the focus currently is on the poor literacy levels of learners in school, and the major problem being language. And I have changed my focus a little bit, but looking at language from the perspective of literacy. The mandate of PENSA is to promote and to develop the African languages. That is my focus currently within the educational perspective, because I'm with the Faculty of Education and not with the pure faculty of the arts. And with the age I am at 56, I have accumulated so much experience in dealing with the languages in education. And as a result, behind me I have this achievement that it is the only university that offers the degree in Botswana. Something that I negotiated for years and years, which was ultimately approved in 2009. So my interest in languages is brought by the fact that our classrooms are full of multilingual settings, and PENSAL looks exactly at multilingual development, multilingual use of languages. And I think the interest that I have in multilingualism will help, will be strategic to sitting on the board of PENSAL because of the position that I hold and the interest that I have, both of them, under the Faculty of Education and under the multilingualism. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Can we hold this there and stand up? Okay. We are called to go and vote. So we will hold it here and come back.
How many minutes are left? Let me do the college.
Stop. Only 10 minutes. Only 10 minutes into the project.
Good afternoon. Sister, you fine? Mama, good. It's fine, sister. Let's. If you happen to be appointed in the board, now I'm aware that you are not a stranger to PENSA. And if you happen to be appointed, even the challenges that are there in front of us, as we speak, it's not focused. I arrived here in 2014. When that board was coming, then there were challenges. But we are in that process now of appointing a new board. And if you happen to be appointed, what other skills do you have you can bring in the board so that we deal with the challenges that turn out once and for all?
I think I must just acknowledge the problem and the challenges that have been incurred. Personally, I think the challenges, the source of the challenge was the parallel working together of Kinsau Village agriculture. And that being coming to an end, or that being sorted out, I think the other problem is the right at the bottom to sort them out. But let me indicate that Mr. Tom appointed me to serve on the board, the skill that I will bring is the implementation of the focus of education. If we look at the structures of themselves now, TLC, NLU, and NLB, you find one member who is education director. That is worrying. Because you talk language, you study education. You talk language, you study it where people are, municipalities, departments of government. So my specialty in education is the vast, because I do not look at the specific aspect. And implementation, with the skill that I have of organization and training, I am hopeful that it will make an impact. Because with education, Pencil will have to redirect its focus or integrate its focus with all aspects that touch on education. By that I mean literacy, that should be point number one. And number two, the large policies of the school are a serious disaster. I've been engaged with the schools where I've been sent by TLC to intervene in the school policies and workshopping the members of TLC on policies. So I think the education part of the board, if it can get focused, I think we'll be in the right direction. That will be done for me if I get appointed.
Thank you, Honourable.
Thank you, Chair. Madam, you seem so passionate about multilingualism. And you even said that you have a position and interest in it. And even in the previous question that was asked by Honorable Makondo, you also showed that you are very passionate about this, but your passion is more focused on the school where the grassroots way is supposed to be. But now currently in our country, if you look at the private sector, and there and there in the public sector, we are experiencing a problem in terms of practicing multilingualism. So my question will be to you: what is your stance on multilingualism? why do you send me to be able to practice? It is a good thing to practice my feeling of being in both the public and the private sector.
Thank you for the question. Yes, I am very passionate about multilingualism in education, and not only in the classroom, but in education. And as I indicated earlier on, I mentioned the municipalities, I mentioned the governmental departments, where there are people, there is multilingualism. And how to deal with that? Thanks to our government that we have the EOLA Act, use of languages act of November 2012, which stipulates that the governmental departments must implement the use of African languages, actually the use of multilingualism, with special focus to emphasis on African languages, because the idea is to use and develop them and promote them. And coming to your question, how will I go about that? The issue of implementation comes in again. It chips in again in a sense that some of the things are just on paper and are not practically done. And it shouldn't be a big problem to implement multilingualism in where people are. Agreements can be made, negotiations can be made. You go to a municipality, you go to a firm, you negotiate to implement a grid on language and have agreement on how is this corporate company or the governmental company going to implement and make sure of the issue of multilingualism. I know the constitution says where it is practically possible. And usually people who are resistant with multilingualism, they use that those words, only those words. So it goes back to negotiating and agreeing with the people who are going to be in the multilingual setting. Because you can't come from outside and impose on people. You need to negotiate and make people and understand so that they can buy in. So the issue of implementation can be there.
I wanted to follow up Kate, because she has made mention of the very important piece of legislation that compels public sector, or any other type of government to make sure that we implement that. She also mentioned a very important issue that the establishment of those units that deal with this public language, which currently is a problem in the country, even in our own department, starting from even here in Parliament. Now, once you have been appointed as a board member, how would you make sure that piece of legislation is implemented to its totality? Or perhaps if there's something that we want to happen, like you said, the legislation, if there's a part that says where perhaps is practicable or applicable, you can then, which then becomes a little bit problematic. But what would you do now if you are in that board appointed and you see that there is an area that is lacking within the legislation, or there's an area that needs to be amended perhaps? So I want to know if you are appointed tomorrow or when you go out here, what should you do?
Thank you very much for the question. I think it goes back to the issue of negotiating and awareness.
as far as I know, the government has many facilities, the hospitals, the courts, the schools, they do not know, they do not realize multilingual settings of South Africa. So awareness will be key in making sure that people do buy in and understand. So the awareness campaign will work much better.
Thank you. My question to you is, for any member to serve in a board, he or she needs to expose to the code in government. It's a practice, that's why. So the question is, how would you ensure that there is always an ethical leadership and integrity in the board? So these two questions.
Thank you very much. Papu made a correction. I do not serve on the provincial language committee. I only represent the national language board in the province. So I do not have any voting rights. And with respect to writing the speeches for Putina Mope, I was not writing the speeches, I was just eating and making sure that what has been said on the newspaper or on the media correlates with that. And coming to your question about ethical behavior and South Africa is at a very challenging stage of living ethically. And if I have to be appointed to the board to serve as one of the board members, my believing in doing the right thing all the time will be shared among the board members. I will take it upon myself to encourage. And it is very difficult to talk of ethical issues when you are with other members. If you serve to me alone, I would say I try my best always to act in an integrity, to practice integrity, to do the right thing all the time. I always say, when you do the wrong thing, you must know that wrong thing will follow you up until you end up in a problem. So I believe in integrity, I believe in doing the right thing. So if I stand on the board, there are rules of the board that is non-negotiable, that should not be negotiated. And that will be tabled, that will be discussed, that will be agreed upon. I'm not a person who believes in communicating the thing and agreeing upon, and not just imposing and hearing from other sides.
My question was around the ethical leadership. For if any member, whether it's me or Chair Honorable Makonde, want to serve in any board, there are rules, let me put it like that, that as a board member coming, you need to have. You need to have, and you cannot come to any board, not voting or not voting. So you need to have. So that's why we're saying ethical leadership. Because it was a mistake of being ethical leadership. It's like where I put on to
the
moon.
Thank you very much. Okay. Firstly, we look at the time. The time means when you are a leader with ethics, it means you must respect time. And number two, as an ethical leader, it means you must do as the rules are supposed to be applied, as the rules say. It means you can't do as it pleases you. You have to hear from others. It means you must know what constitutes according to the particular area that you are in, what it is that is expected of the leader to act in such a way. I'm not sure if I answered that one.
Maybe the last one. What do you understand by a code of good government? It goes hand in hand with an ethical leadership.
Good governance according to the rules, as far as I know. Because governance has to do with the rules, which we differentiate from management, where management is the process of doing the rules. So it's about the rules. Thank you very much, I'm going to give my opinion.
Thanks. So, simply, we are sorry for what happened to you yesterday. But what we need to know is that everything happens for the people. And again, we need to know that where there's a will, there is a way. As long as you set your goals that come in 2019 you're going to achieve your PhD, so it will be. My question is, there are 11 official nominees. However, those 11 official nominees are not afforded the same data. And how would you ensure that there is no language that is hegemony over others if you are to be appointed as one of the board members of CRIPA?
Thank you. But because CANSAL is the watchdog on that, and if I'm one of the board members, it means that will be the most important factor that we have to be to look at. As I say, it's difficult to have all of them equally. I think the statistics of the people can help. For instance, with the Northwest, we have 5 official languages, so far 1 or 2 English and Afrikaans. And obviously in the Eastern Cape, it will be easy English and Afrikaans. So we can't have a society in the Northwest the same as Botswana in the Northwest. So to come to your question to say, how will I make sure that they are all mixed equally, if I understand your question, is the allocation of resources. If the allocation of resources is equal, then they will be afforded to be used equally.
I just wanted to check if she is meaning to ask this. If the allocation is not the same, meaning that they are going to continue as board members to have those that are better than the others. So, as part of the board members, what is it that they are going to do? Are they going to leave it as is, or they are going to come up with a plan to make sure that even if it's not that equal, but at least it goes to the other one? Thank you.
We can't leave it like that because it's been a problem. It means as a board we will have to come up with a plan to see how the different languages will enjoy the
okay.
Another question.
What values are you going to bring to the hands of boards? And how will these values assist the boards?
The values focus work. Working reflectively on the mandate of we talk about the things that the scheme, we look at a number of aspects that are positive, that are done the right way. One of which is respecting others' opinion, respecting others' suggestion, knowing when you are given the task to do, the task must be done as expected. When you are given the task to be done within a certain duration, that duration must be met. So the values are so many. But very important of them all is do what you are supposed to do. Give the quality of work that you are supposed to give, so that the board can function effectively and with excellence.
Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon. And are you aware of any Nama, San, and Khoi languages being spoken in Northwest?
In Friday, we had the son and the necessity is also going to the north of this, but and then the most is in the Muslim kingdom.
Okay, let's help you there. There are quite a number of sun languages spoken in the northwest and not in Freiburg but in other areas. Now my question is, how would you promote languages that are marginalized, like the language I've mentioned now? How would you promote those languages that are marginalized?
I thank you very much for the question. Promoting the sign language, the sign and the story. Awareness is key. As I always say that if you want people to be aware and use languages, they must be made aware of what they use. So how will I promote that? I will have the language be implemented in the public spaces and private spaces. Make people aware of the existence of the language. Have the language be used, be promoted, be developed, be used, meaning that there will be need for resources. So it goes back to promoting them, developing them, so that they can be used. Because if they are not developed, then they will be underused. Because usually when the language is not developed, people say there are no enough ways or there are no enough language to use it. So the first thing would be, let us develop these languages. And let's make people aware of the existence of these languages and then have them be used in all spaces, just like other languages.
Chair, I'd just like to follow up. How would you then develop these languages? Because everybody's talking about develop, but how are we going to develop these languages?
Spaces like universities and digital technologies and the equities can be used to help to develop, because the academic skills from the institutions can come up with the academic work that can be recorded for the languages. There can be conferences as well. To conscientize people so that people can see that they can be because you can't develop a language without using the language. So the academic institutions can be used as institutions that can help as well to buy in giving the programs, giving the module, giving the degree of the said language.
Thank you very much. The bell has rung. Good. It means we have come to the end of the interview. And as I spoke to earlier, that is very gratefully telling us that the time is over. Thank you very much for availing yourself. And as the proposal committee, at the end of this, we are going to collect all information. We are going to give it to the minister. We are not the people who appoint, it's the minister that appoints, and they will communicate with you. But we really appreciate the fact that you agreed to be part of this assembly. You responded positively to your nomination. It shows us that you want to serve the nation. And for us, that is very, very important. Thank you, Chair.